All right, so today we're to do something a little bit different.
Okay.
We're not going to be looking at, research papers or articles or anything like that.
Right.
We're going to be diving into a novel
Ooh, fun.
called Girl Ultra Processed.
Hmm.
And it's one of those books that I kind of want to just like hand to you and be like, you have to read this.
I like it. I like
So it'll be
standard.
interesting to see what we pull out of these excerpts and
Yeah.
what we think.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting how fiction can like hold up a mirror to society in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and by kind of exploring this character, Saffron's experiences, you know, we can maybe uncover some insights into like real issues that people are dealing with, you know, body image and online dating and all sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get into, the nitty-gritty of the plot and everything, tell me a little bit about Saffron. What kind of character are we dealing with here?
So imagine like a young woman just navigating life in Bristol, you know, trying to find her place,
Okay, well.
juggling friendships and family and expectations and all of that. Yeah.
And it's like the author has just bottled up that universal feeling of, wanting to sit in and
Right.
questioning your choices and poured it all into Saffron.
Okay, so she's relatable.
Yeah,
She's relatable.
totally.
But what about the people surrounding her?
Yes.
It sounds like she's got a whole cast of characters that are adding to this mix.
Oh, absolutely. So, like, we've got Poppy, for instance. She's that, like, vibrant friend. The life of the party, maybe a bit much at times.
Right.
The excerpts actually describe her as a lovable brat, which I think is just so perfect.
Yeah.
Really captures her personality.
And then there's Freya, who kind of represents this like perfect life thing, right? She's
Yes.
lost weight. She's got a seemingly amazing boyfriend. And from the outside, it looks like she's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But you get the sense that maybe it's not as picture perfect as it seems.
Right. And the author kind of subtly hints that maybe Freya's transformation came at a cost,
There's a sense of isolation there, maybe losing herself in pursuit of this ideal. And it makes you wonder, does achieving this ideal actually lead to happiness?
Yeah, that's a good point. It makes me wonder if the book is kind of challenging those conventional notions of success and, fulfillment.
Totally. And then there's Saffron's mother, Dayan, who kind of adds another layer to this whole discussion of societal pressures, especially when it comes to body image.
Right.
She's completely fixated on dieting and pushes those values onto Saffron, almost like she's trying to live vicariously through her.
It's interesting how the author uses those characters to kind of explore generational trauma,
Right.
right? This
Yes.
idea that these unhealthy attitudes towards body image can be passed down through
Exactly. It
families.
really makes you think about the long-lasting impact of those messages that we receive growing up.
But amidst all of these, potentially negative influences, Saffron has her brother Otis and her housemate Toby, who seem to offer a different perspective.
Yes.
They seem to be those like genuine supportive relationships.
Yes, Otis seems like this grounding force, always encouraging Saffron to be kind to herself.
Yeah.
And Toby, with his background in nutrition, provides a more balanced view of food and health,
Yeah.
which is such a contrast to the restrictive diet culture that she often encounters.
Speaking of diet culture, it seems like Saffron is caught in this cycle of trying to lose weight,
Yeah.
rejoining weight loss groups like Slim It, and even experimenting with fad diets like Fast Off. It's like she's desperate for a quick fix, but these methods only seem to fuel her insecurity even more.
Yeah, and the author doesn't shy away from kind of the darker side of these weight loss trends. You know,
Yeah.
we see Saffron experiencing embarrassing side effects,
Yeah.
spending money on products that don't really deliver on their promises. It's a harsh critique of an industry that profits from people's insecurities.
Right. And this is where the whole like online persona thing comes in.
Yes.
Right. Saffron creates this alternate identity online named Sydney on this dating app called Reveal. And it's as if she's trying to escape the insecurities that she feels in real life by crafting this like confident, desirable online persona.
It's so fascinating because it makes you wonder about like the masks that we wear online
Yeah.
and how those personas can be both liberating but also deceptive.
Right.
Is Sydney like a genuine expression of Saffron's desires, or is she a product of the pressure to conform to certain ideals, you know?
That's a great question. It's like she's trying on different identities to see what fits, which I think a lot of people can relate to, especially when it comes to online dating.
Totally. And that's what makes this story so compelling, you know, that
Yeah.
tackles these universal experiences and presents them in a way that feels both personal and insightful. It's like the author's inviting us to examine our own relationships with social media and body image
Yeah.
and this pressure to present a certain image to the world.
You know, what really struck me is the author's use of brands like Ozempic and Fastos. Mm-hmm. These aren't just like random details.
Yeah.
They really ground the story in a reality that we're all familiar with.
Totally.
It's like the author is subtly commenting on how consumerism has become intertwined with our pursuit of self-worth.
You're picking up on some really insightful details there, and I think that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
The author weaves in so many layers of meaning,
yeah,
both through the characters and the situations that they find themselves in.
Okay, I'm officially hooked. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, I think we need to take a closer look at those relationships that are shaping Saffron's journey.
Yes.
Especially her friendships with Poppy and Freya.
Absolutely. Those relationships seem to be like at the heart of the story. They mm-hmm. highlight the complexities of female friendships,
mm-hmm.
the joys and challenges of navigating different life stages, and how those dynamics impact our sense of self.
I'm particularly curious about the contrast between Poppy's seemingly carefree personality
mm-hmm.
and Freya's pursuit of perfection. It seems like they represent two very different paths, but both have their own set of challenges.
Definitely. And don't forget about Saffron's complicated relationship with her mother. You know, that dynamic seems to be a driving force behind a lot of her insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that family can be both a source of love and a breeding ground for anxieties.
So we have a character struggling with body image.
Yes.
Surrounded by this cast of personalities who each represent different aspects of societal pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pressure cooker of self-doubt and the need to fit in.
Right.
Where did the author take us from here?
Well, that's where things get really interesting, but I don't want to spoil the fun just yet.
Ugh, you're killing me. Yeah. All right, fine. We'll save the juicy details for the next part.
Okay.
But I have a feeling things are about to get pretty intense.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Picking up where we left off, I think it's time we address the elephant in the room, or should I say the catfish in the DMs?
Okay, yes, the catfishing element adds this whole other layer of intrigue to the story. Yeah. We know someone is messing with Saffron, but the excerpts only give us these, like, glimpses.
Yeah.
Like breadcrumbs leading to a bigger reveal.
Exactly. And the author so cleverly sprinkles these clues throughout the narrative.
Right.
For instance, Saffron notices like a misplaced toothbrush at her new house.
Oh.
And then later, a seemingly innocent social media post connects her housemate's ex-girlfriend to the catfishing persona.
Hmm. You're right. Those details seem almost too deliberate to be coincidences.
Right.
It makes you wonder if the author is setting us up for a major twist or if it's a red herring to like throw us off track.
That's the brilliance of a well-crafted mystery.
Yeah.
But beyond the whodunit aspect, this whole catfishing plotline serves a deeper purpose, you know?
Right.
It forces us to question the authenticity of online interactions
mm-hmm.
and how easily our perceptions can be manipulated.
Yeah. It also makes you think about the motivations behind catfishing, right?
Yes.
Is it about revenge, loneliness? A twisted desire for control. The excerpts hint at Saffron's feelings of invisibility, especially towards certain boys in her past.
Right.
Could this be someone seeking attention, even if it's through harmful means?
That's a very astute observation. It really ties into this larger theme the book seems to be exploring,
mm-hmm.
this yearning for validation,
right.
especially in a world that's so dominated by social media.
And speaking of social media, I'm curious about this influencer character, Bliss Adaimi, who keeps popping up.
Yes.
She seems to represent a completely different perspective on body image and self-acceptance.
Bliss is fascinating because she embodies the antithesis of everything Saffron is struggling with, you know?
Yeah.
She embraces her body. She challenges those unrealistic beauty standards
mm.
and uses her platform to call out harmful behaviors.
It's almost like she's this like beacon of hope showing Saffron that there's another way to exist in this world.
Exactly.
Where appearance seems to dictate so much.
Yeah. And she's not afraid to like hold others accountable, you know? Like when she criticizes another influencer for promoting unhealthy weight loss products,
right.
it raises this whole question of responsibility.
Yeah.
Especially for those with large online followings.
It definitely makes you think about the messages we consume online
yeah.
and how easily we can be swayed by trends or endorsements,
mm-hmm.
even if they're not promoting healthy or ethical practices.
Right. And as the story unfolds, we see Saffron starting to question the values that she's internalized,
right.
particularly those passed down from her mother.
Yeah.
It's like she's slowly waking up to the realization that there's more to life than fitting into a certain mold.
But it's not all serious introspection.
Oh, of course not.
The excerpts also have these moments of humor and a relatable awkwardness that makes Saffron's struggles feel even more authentic.
Absolutely. The author masterfully balances those heavier themes with lighter, often comedic moments.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Saffron's descriptions of the disastrous side effects from those Vlastoff shakes had me laughing out loud.
Oh, no. It's like the author is saying, hey, life is messy.
Yes.
And sometimes you just have to laugh at the absurdity of it all.
Exactly. And amidst all the chaos, there's this glimmer of romance brewing between Saffron and Toby.
Okay.
He seems genuinely interested in her, not just for her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And he challenges her to think differently about herself.
Yeah.
Plus, he makes delicious smoothies.
What's not to love?
Right.
He does seem like a good egg.
Yeah.
But Saffron's insecurities and past experiences seem to be holding her back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's self-sabotaging before anything can even blossom.
It makes you wonder if Saffron truly believes she's worthy of love and happiness, you know?
Right.
This internal struggle is so relatable.
Yeah.
Even if we haven't all experienced catfishing or extreme dieting,
mm-hmm.
it's a reminder that we all have our own baggage and that sometimes the biggest obstacles are the ones we create for ourselves.
And just when you think Saffron might be taking a step forward, the catfishing situation explodes. We discover the person behind this fake online persona is none other than Jack, someone from Saffron's past.
Talk about a bombshell.
Right.
This revelation completely shifts the dynamics and adds this layer of emotional complexity to the whole situation.
It makes you wonder about the motives.
Right.
Is this about revenge, unrequited feelings, or something even more twisted?
Right. This twist also highlights how the past can linger even if we try to bury it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It forces Saffron and us as readers to confront those unresolved issues and acknowledge how they can impact our present.
Okay. So we have drama, we have humor, we have mystery, we have social commentary.
It's all there.
All wrapped up in this relatable coming-of-age story.
Yes.
I'm dying to know how the author ties all of these threads together.
Well, that's where things get even more intriguing, but we'll have to save the grand finale for the next part.
Ugh, you're killing me with the suspense. All right, fine. We'll pause here and let our listeners stew in anticipation.
Exactly. We've set the stage, we've laid out the key players, and hinted at the storm brewing on the horizon. Now it's time for the big reveal. But trust me, the payoff is worth the wait.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Girl Ultra Processed. We left off on a pretty big cliffhanger.
We did.
Saffron just discovered that Jack, her former crush, is the one behind the whole catfishing scheme.
Right.
So what happens next?
Well, it turns out the situation is even more tangled than we initially thought.
Okay.
The author throws another curveball our way, revealing that Freya is involved in the catfishing as well.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
Freya, the seemingly perfect one with the picture-perfect life?
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
It's a brilliant move by the author.
Yeah.
Because it completely subverts our expectations.
Right.
You know, we've been led to believe that Freya has it all figured out.
Right.
But this revelation shows that beneath that carefully curated facade, she's struggling with her own insecurities and demons.
It's like the author is saying that appearances can be deceiving. And even those who seem to have it all together might be battling these, like, internal struggles that we know nothing about.
Precisely. And this ties back to one of the central themes we've been discussing.
Right.
This pressure to present a perfect image, especially online.
Mm-hmm.
Freya's involvement in the catfishing scheme highlights how social media can become this breeding ground for deception and manipulation.
Yeah.
All in the pursuit of validation and approval.
It's like she's created this elaborate fantasy world.
Right.
Complete with a fake engagement and a carefully curated online persona to escape the reality of her own unhappiness.
And what's even more fascinating is how the author connects Freya's actions to the larger issue of diet culture.
Right.
We learn that Freya's extreme weight loss and obsession with maintaining a certain image have really taken a toll on her mental and physical well-being.
It's a stark reminder that achieving society's definition of perfect doesn't necessarily equate to happiness or fulfillment.
Right. And it makes you wonder if the pursuit of these unattainable ideals is actually a form of self-sabotage.
But Saffron is also guilty of creating a false identity online with her Sydney persona.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone is caught in this web of deception, trying to be someone they're not to gain approval or escape their own reality.
This parallel between Saffron and Freya is so insightful.
Yeah.
It shows how the desire for validation can manifest in different ways.
Right.
But ultimately, it stems from this lack of self-acceptance.
Mm.
It's a powerful commentary on how social media can warp our perceptions of ourselves and others.
But thankfully, the story doesn't leave us wallowing in despair.
No, it doesn't.
There's this turning point where Saffron decides to break free from this cycle of deception and self-doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
This scene where she stands up at her mom's celebration of self event.
Yes.
And publicly confronts the catfishing and her own struggles with body image is incredibly powerful.
It's such a powerful scene.
It's like she's finally reclaiming her narrative, refusing to be defined by others' expectations or the pressures of social media.
Exactly. And what's even more inspiring is how she uses her experience to encourage others to embrace their true selves.
Right.
It's a reminder that vulnerability can be a source of strength.
Yeah.
And that sharing our stories can help break down the stigma surrounding these issues.
It's a beautiful moment of empowerment, not just for Saffron, but for anyone who's ever felt the pressure to conform or hide their true self.
And let's not forget the importance of that support system that helped Saffron along the way.
Right.
Her brother Otis, her housemates, even the online influencer Bliss.
Yeah.
They all play a role in guiding her towards self-acceptance.
It's a reminder that we don't have to navigate these challenges alone, you know?
Right.
There are people who love and support us,
even
when we make mistakes or struggle to see our own worth.
And sometimes those connections come from the most unexpected places.
Right.
Like when Saffron discovers that her mom's new fiancé is the same guy who catfished her years ago.
Whoa, what?
It's a full circle moment. That highlights the interconnectedness of our lives and the complexities of human relationships.
Wow, what a twist.
Right.
But beyond the shock value, it also shows that even those who hurt us can be capable of growth and redemption.
And that's a powerful message to end on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That even amidst the drama and heartache, there's always hope for healing and forgiveness.
So there you have it, our deep dive into Girl Ultra Processed. We've explored themes of body image, social media, online dating, family dynamics, and self-acceptance.
It's a story that really stays with you long after you finish the last page.
Yeah.
It prompts you to examine your own life and the choices that you make.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a thought-provoking, relatable, and ultimately uplifting read, I highly recommend checking out Girl Ultra Processed. Trust me, you won't be disappointed.